Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Namaste Radio. The intent of our programming is to increase awareness, inspire loving action, and ignite transformation and healing in our listeners, and through them, our world. Namaste Radio is brought to you by Namaste Publishing. Please join its interactive spiritual community. Communicate directly with authors, guest bloggers, and others like yourself who are spiritually seeking a better way of living. Connect, make friends, and be one with our new Namaste Global community at namastepublishing.com. And now, please welcome your host for this hour, Marie Bernard, on Namaste Radio, radio that will change your life.
Good evening. Welcome to Namaste Radio. I'm your host, Marie. Thank you so much for joining us this evening for a very exciting hour, speaking with Dr. Leonid Sharashkin. He is the leading expert on the growing Anastasia phenomenon. He's the editor and co-translator of the English edition of Anastasia and the Ringing Cedars series, and presenter of International Ringing Cedars Workshops. He's also has based his doctoral dissertation on the ideas put forth by Anastasia in this series of books, and as a result, he's the most qualified person in the English-speaking world, at least, to speak on the transformational information contained within these books. Now, it's amazing because there have been millions of copies of the Ringing Cedars books sold, and I just heard about these books, and I've read Anastasia, which is book one in the Ringing Cedars series. So we're going to talk with Dr. Leo today and find out how this all got started. And yeah, welcome to the show, Dr. Leo.
Thank you very much, Marie. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for being with us. So I'm curious why these books are so popular. Over 10 million copies sold in 20 different languages. Why am I just hearing about this now?
I feel that these books, the Ringing Cedars series, and book one being Anastasia, they are very special. You know, there are so many spiritual books today, but and I read quite a few, but no other books actually moved me and caused me to change my lifestyle. And this is, I believe, what distinguishes the Ringing Cedars series from many other books. It's not just a book to read and put on your shelf. It really penetrates your being, and there are many thousands of people worldwide that chose a very different lifestyle after reading Anastasia and its sequels. You know, I believe that the reason why this particular book is so powerful is that it presents the information not on the level of intellect. It's not a book for the mind. It's really presented on the level of feelings. This is why it goes much deeper than just the mind to the very core of our being. And this is why I believe the books get the same kind of heartfelt response everywhere, be it America, Russia, Japan, Australia, you name it.
Well, thank you, Dr. Leo. If you want to get on the air and ask Dr. Leo a question, the number is area code 347-202-0129. That's 202-0129, area code 347. And I'm just curious, I wanted to let everyone know also that I did a search in the Vancouver Public Library, and there are actually a number of Anastasia books and Ringing Cedars books available at the library. So if you haven't read them, they're obviously quite popular. I'm really surprised that I am just hearing about these now. The first question is that this woman, Anastasia, is she really from the wilderness? Vladimir, he is the author mm-hmm. of the book, and he talks about how she's a real person. Is she a real person?
I don't pretend to know for sure. What I can tell you is that I personally know the author, and he certainly doesn't give an impression of being a person who can just sit down and invent a story that would captivate the hearts and minds of millions of people worldwide. Also, when you read this book, the energy is just so authentic. You can tell that you are reading something that was narrated by a woman. So as far as my personal opinion is concerned, yes, I believe that there is a real-life person who is the real source of information and inspiration behind the Ringing Cedar series. But also I feel it's important that every reader form their own opinion as to whether Anastasia is real or not. I know very many people who can really even remotely communicate with her. A growing number of people claim that they have physically met her in the flesh. I can verify these accounts. Also, there are very many readers who read the books, enjoy them, and think that she was invented, think it is a fantasy. But even these people agree that it is very timely and very important piece of fantasy.
Wonderful. Okay. But the author does claim that Anastasia is a real person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Vladimir Magre has been saying that what he wrote is a documentary account based on his real life experiences. This is true.
Okay. So I guess it's sort of when you say people need to make their own opinion, it's similar to when people claim to be able to channel some kind of entity or consciousness.
Well, yeah, true, but, you know, I've read quite a few channel books, and when you read the Ringing Cedar series, to me at least, it does not give an impression of material that could be channeled from some higher planes or whatever, because you can really sense it's coming from a woman here on planet Earth with so much love for this planet and gardening and raising children, etc. It's so authentic as coming from a living individual. It's so based on real human emotions and experiences that I cannot perceive this particular series as being channeled. So I do think that there are sources of inspiration that are coming from our human plane. And I do think that there is a woman behind the series who is absolutely real.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Leo, I've read the Anastasia book, book one,
mm-hmm.
But for those listeners who are just being introduced to Anastasia today, can you give us a little bit of a summary of what the book and what the story is about?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It started about 15 years ago. And the book series it tells the story of the author's Vladimir Magre's trips to very remote parts of Siberia. And he was and still is a businessman. So in the mid-1990s, his business was to go to these very remote parts of Siberia in Russia and trade with local people. And on one of the trips, he started hearing stories about local sacred trees that the elders were referring to as the Ringing Cedars. He was a little bit intrigued, but at the time he was dismissing all these stories as a local legend. However, he decided to go the next year and check out the story of the elders. But instead of finding the Ringing Cedar tree, or let me say, in addition to finding the sacred tree and tapping into its energies, he also, according to his account, met the elder's granddaughter named Anastasia, who lived all her life there in the wilderness. And after spending just 3 days with her there, he could no longer concentrate on running his business. So he went to Moscow to try and fulfill the promise he gave her to try and write a series of books about her. And the amazing part is that even before the first book, Anastasia, was even written, according to Vladimir's account, Anastasia promised him and told him that people the world over are craving for this kind of information. And she promised him that the book would become an international bestseller and would make him famous and wealthy. He laughed at that, and when the first book, Anastasia, the manuscript, was ready, and no publisher wanted to take it because they believed that a book on nature and spirituality didn't hold any best-selling potential. So in 1996, Vladimir was selling the first copy of Anastasia on a street corner in downtown Moscow. Guess what? Just as was promised by Anastasia, 3 years later, he was one of Russia's best-read authors with millions of copies of circulation. And as you mentioned, to date, over 11 million copies have been sold in 20 languages.
Wow. Well, I want to get into a little bit of the story. Now, in the beginning of the Anastasia book, Vladimir comes across Anastasia's her great-grandfather.
Yep.
And at first he figures they're like about in their 70s, and then he finds out that they're much, much older than that. And these men were trying to share with him. They wanted the people, his workers on his boat,
mm-hmm.
to come and chop down this cedar tree and bring pieces back and give them out to people in order to heal them. I'm curious, have you had any experience with the healing power of these ringing cedars trees?
Mm-hmm. Not exactly with this particular tree, with the ringing cedar tree. But, you know, when I asked this question of the author, he told me, you know, Leo, every tree is ringing. It's us who cannot hear the sound. So, of course, we know today that all trees emit vibrations, electromagnetic vibrations. They all have a very strong bioenergy field. It can even be measured today with their scientific equipment. Not only that, when I was writing my doctoral dissertation in forestry at the University of Missouri-Columbia, I had access to the university library. And I did some background research, and do you know what I discovered? I discovered that all over the world, be it India, Ireland, Siberia, Native America, practically all over the world, in all the different indigenous cultures, there always were stories about ringing trees, singing trees, talking trees. Is it because all our ancestors the world over were so superstitious they were inventing the stories like that? No, I think this was because they were much closer to nature than we are today, and they had this ability of tapping into the energy field and the information field of living beings, including trees. This is why I believe, even to the present day, the word book in the English language, the word that we use today, is based on the ancient root for the beech tree. If you open the dictionary, you will see that the beech tree and the book was and used to be one and the same word. To me, it tells that all our ancestors had this access to information and energy coming from the trees, and this was an integral part of their culture and tradition.
Wow. I never knew that. That's amazing. If you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number is 347-202-0129. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, and thank you, Dr. Leo, for being with us. I just want to remind you, if you're listening live right now, you can join in the chat room. I think you have to be a Blog Talk Radio member, but it is free if you're interested in that, and you can join in the chat. There's always some interesting and loving folks hanging out in the chat room if you'd like to join them and interact live as well. There's always discussions going on at namastepublishing.com where you can speak live with our authors. So back to the discussion on the Anastasia books. You mentioned how you did your doctoral dissertation, and so what was that based on? You were giving advice on how to take care of forests based on the Anastasia books?
Well, yeah, yes and no. It was broader than that. If you read the Ringing Cedars book, or especially book one, there is some advice that seems to be so straightforward and so simple, but when you give it second thought, you really see that it has the potential of changing the whole world as we know it. So the part that I based my dissertation was about planting seeds and growing your gardens and becoming self-sufficient in the food that you eat. You know, it seems to be a fairly simple concept, but Anastasia explains that food that we eat is not just about calories. It's also a very powerful way of connecting to your local landscape. So my dissertation was about this culture of self-sufficiency and growing your own food in your backyard, very widespread in Russia. Today, it turns out, Russians collectively grow in their backyard gardens more food than all commercial industrial farms of the country put together. Can you imagine that? People just spending a few hours a week digging in the soil, they outproduce all this huge industrial agriculture without any support from the state. So this was their pragmatic economic question that I asked, but also my dissertation took me much further into exploring the cultural and even spiritual significance of growing your own food, something that Anastasia talks continuously about throughout the Ringing City series.
Yes, and in the Anastasia book one, she actually gives you sort of a recipe or instructions on how you can plant your own food, and just a general description is that you really want to be close to the seeds. You want to, there's a time when you would hold the seeds in your mouth, and after mm-hmm. you plant them, you would, you know, walk barefoot on the garden so that you're really connecting. And what she says in the book is that the food, when you plant the food in this way, the plants are actually connecting to whatever enzymes that your body is producing. It will be giving off signals as to what kind of nutrients those plants need to produce for you, and the plants will actually produce completely different nutrients than you would get from the tomatoes at your grocery store, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an excellent summary. Yeah, and you know, this is this part of book one, Anastasia, that really sucked me into the entire series, and I got hooked after reading Anastasia's advice on planting seeds. And you know, it's just on some instant level, intuitive level, it made so much sense. But when doing my doctoral research, when I looked into that further, I discovered that once again, all over the world, our ancestors had very similar rituals. In Native America, in ancient Europe, in India, they all had the rituals by which people were applying part of their body. It could be sweat or saliva or blood or even semen. They were applying it to their fields to promote the fertility of Mother Earth, because they were making no distinction between motherland. For them, it was literally motherland and humanity. So they were not separating themselves from Mother Earth, and consequently, growing your own food for them was seen not just as surrounding yourself with necessities of life, but a way of reconnecting to Mother with capital M. This is why even the word culture and cult, they are based on the ancient root cult from the Latin language. And if you open the dictionary, you will see that it had no religious connotations in our contemporary sense of the world. The original meaning of the word cult was taking care of your garden. So this was the path towards spiritual betterment and personal growth that our ancestors knew of all over the world. So now this very simple act of planting a seed that Anastasia advocates right there in the first book, it really takes you on a very long journey of not only becoming self-reliant and self-sufficient, which was, by the way, part of the original American dream as well, but also it's taking you on this long journey of starting to rediscover your connectedness to the whole world around you, and reclaiming some of the hidden knowledge that our ancestors had, but which we have forgotten.
Wonderful. Well, I know that there are a lot of people listening right now who haven't yet read the Anastasia books, and that's why I want to get into a little bit more of the story, because it is so amazing. One question, Veronica V in the chat room is asking, now, Vladimir claims to have had a son with Anastasia. And so I'm just wondering now, his first encounter with her was quite a few years ago, and I read at the end of book one how he is asking people not to travel to Siberia to try and hunt her down, because there are some people trying to track her down, and, mm-hmm. and it can be bothersome. But I'm wondering, do you know what's going on with Anastasia right now in her life? Is Vladimir still visiting her?
Yeah, according to him, yes. And by now he's written the series of 9 volumes, and in subsequent volumes he gives further accounts of his going to Siberia and already interacting not only with Anastasia and her grandparents, but also with their child, their son. And when you start reading about it in book three and then in book six, which is called the Book of Cain, there is a beautiful introductory chapter about the alternative views on education and their conception and pregnancy and childbirth that Anastasia has. It's really fascinating to read, but it's even more fascinating to discover through the Ringing Cedars books that there are now real-life examples that everybody can go and check out when people applied very similar concepts to raising children. In book three, called The Space of Love, there is a description of an entire school where children were given complete freedom to create their own world. It's located in southern Russia, and I visited it a couple of months ago. Boy, it was one of the most powerful experiences of my entire life. The children, from age 8 and to 18, they designed, built, and decorated their own campus almost with no adult supervision. They teach each other. They cover the whole school curriculum in just 1 year, all by themselves. And by the time they're 16 or 18, many of them already have two official master's degrees from accredited universities. So this is what true human potential is. And when you read the Ringing Cedars series, it's really opening up your mind that all the possibilities we all have in our lives, no matter where we are, no matter what we do, no matter what we live, all these opportunities are wide open.
Wow. That's amazing. I would love to visit that school. It sounds just phenomenal.
Yeah, you can get a glimpse of it at the ringingcedars.com website. There is a documentary film about the school. So not only you can read about this real-life school in the Ringing Cedars books, but also you can watch this documentary, seeing all these beautiful buildings that the children build themselves, and seeing these children. These are some extraordinary kids, even though there is no selection process. They do not pre-select some special children. Children become special when they get into the school. And the principal explains that these are not extraordinary children. Just as Anastasia keeps repeating throughout the books, that she is just an example of true potential within each human being. So the principal of this school explains that he is just showing the true potential within each child born on planet Earth.
Awesome. That's, I just love, and that's the thing that I love most about this book, Anastasia, is that Anastasia is just a regular woman, and but she has a connection. I guess, I mean, when we live in society and we grow up with so much technology and so many things coming at us and having to conform and be politically correct and all of those things that we have to do when we live in a society, they kind of tend to disconnect us even more. And I guess Anastasia just never experienced that disconnection because all she knew was the forest.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you look back in history until relatively recently, the kind of lifestyle that Anastasia has was the norm. You read back in history and you start to see that even in the language that our ancestors used, it was all based on their contemplation of the world of nature around them. So they were seeing divinity in nature around them. They were seeing their life purpose in nature around them. They were seeing themselves reflected in the world of nature around them. So, you know, it was all based on reverence for life expressed not only in yourself, but the life expressed in this beautiful living world all around us. And as you go back in history, really you get a glimpse of this golden age that many traditions the world over talk about. But really, we have evidence that this was indeed the kind of lifestyle that our ancestors enjoyed throughout the world, including what is now Russia and Europe.
Now, Dr. Leo, there's one question that I had in the book that I wasn't really sure if I agreed with it very much, and that is how Anastasia describes sex. Mm-hmm. And how one should only have sex for the purpose of I mean, basically procreation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, as you have studied the Ringing Cedars series so much, has your opinion on sex changed?
Well, somewhat. And I should mention here that, you know, she describes her own attitude, but what I value about the Ringing Cedars books is that Anastasia never becomes preachy. Even when she describes her own attitudes towards sexuality or to nutrition, even though she herself, for example, is absolutely vegan, she does not advocate it for everybody. She doesn't say that every single person should have the kind of new diet that she has. So the same applies to sexuality. She is drawing our attention to the fact that today in the Western world, this sacred energy of sexuality is abused. It's put to the uses of recreation, escape for reality, anti-stress, you name it. But it has lost to a very large degree the understanding that our ancestors had, that it has this very important function of not just creating the body of the new human being, but also creating the spirit of the new being. As you read throughout the Ringing Cedars series, you will read more on the subject, but the substance of it boils down to, today we think that it's only the body, the semen and women's cells that come together and create a new being. Anastasia draws our attention to the fact that today we know that our thoughts can even influence water and water structure. So all the more so with a human, new human being formed in the woman's body. So she explains that the human thought is of primary importance in conception. So children should not be conceived randomly. They should be conceived with their intent, with the conscious awareness of the sacred act of creating continuation of life of your family line. So this is the aspect that she is trying to emphasize. And also, as somebody with a background in biology and forestry, I know from studies of biology that every organism on this planet, including us human beings, can use our energy in three principal ways. The first is the growth, the physical growth and development of the organism, then procreation, and then withstanding stress. So if a lot of energy is channeled in procreation or recreational sexuality, as we know it here in the West, then this means that we have less energy left for developing in the other dimensions. So, again, Anastasia's approach is that of balance. And the same way as she describes her own way of eating and says that it might not be applicable to everybody, when she describes her own attitudes towards sexuality, she is not making a statement that everybody needs to be following her example. Again, what I like about the Ringing Cedars series, it's not preachy, it's not in use scripture to follow letter by letter. It's not telling you how you should live. It's an invitation to start asking questions and discovering the answers on your own.
Definitely. And I posted the website in the chat room, but if you're just listening and you're not in the chat room, the website is ringingcedars.com. And you can find a link to that on my website, spiritualshow.com, as well. And Dr. Leo, throughout the book, Anastasia also mentions dark forces. She says dark forces created money. There is a lot of talk about dark forces, and many people believe in dark forces, and many people have an opposite view that there may be some darkness within people, but it's not a source of darkness. It's them being disconnected from the light and the love and the peace in the universe. And what is your opinion of these dark forces based on your studies of the Anastasia books?
Well, for Anastasia, what she calls the dark forces, this is the element of us human beings which is about destruction and taking things apart and killing other human beings, etc. So basically, the dark forces, the way she understands them, this is this energy of destruction. She describes that today the problem in the world is that there is this huge imbalance that we have given into the habit of destroying and taking things apart. So even when she talks about the purpose of us being on this planet, she says that, well, we find ourselves on this beautiful living planet and we wreak havoc on it just to provide ourselves with some necessities for life, like shelter and food and fuel. We seem to be an exception for the whole world of life on this planet. Can it really be true that all other creatures can live on this planet without shelter, especially made shelter? They make it themselves. Without agriculture as such, with machinery, etc., without warm clothing, etc. But we humans seem to be the only exception. Is it true? No, Anastasia explains that we all have the abilities to adapt to temperatures in nature around us. We can have abundant sources of food if only we are not destroying the pristine ecosystems, etc., etc. So all our needs have been taken care of the same way as the needs of all other creatures on this planet have been taken care of. So what she calls the dark forces is this drive of subduing and dominating the world around us and creating the imperfect artificial substitutes for things that we have provided to us in nature to start with.
Now, in the book also, it's very interesting how Anastasia has such a relationship with the animals around her. She uses whatever kind of connection, spiritual or consciousness connection, that she has to these animals, where the squirrels will come and bring her nuts that mm-hmm. they've collected. And when Vladimir was spending his first night there, she called a bear over to keep him warm, which typically you wouldn't think of snuggling up to, like a big bear in the forest and that being safe. But she has this special relationship. And I'm wondering, has your relationship with animals, like what kind of things have you experienced in your own life since you've connected with these books?
Oh, yeah. You know, many people, when they read the Ringing Cedars books, they say, well, I can accept this and I accept that, but I cannot accept for the life of me that she can relate to wild animals the way we relate to our household pets. Well, I myself did have some extraordinary contacts established with wild creatures. One time when I started living in an Ica village, 100 miles east of Moscow, and when I exchanged my urban career of a business manager for the simple life of a peasant on your own piece of land in the middle of the countryside, I started noticing this real shift in the attitude of local animals and birds towards me. One time I walked out, and it was the springtime, and birds were coming from the south, and I saw some beautiful birds in the bushes, maybe 100 yards from my home, and I extended the palm of my hand. It was an empty palm with no treats for them, and yet three birds came and perched on the palm of my hand. So, you know, there were some amazing moments of connection. And again, Anastasia explains that this is the kind of connection that we all enjoyed. You know, today we know, and we always knew, that small children do have this connection. Grown-up human beings do not have this connection, but if a small child finds himself or herself in a pack of wolves or anywhere, the animals will treat him or her as their own baby. They will nurture the human being, and the human being will grow into being a good wolf or a good bear, etc. So this as an indication that when we are born, when we are still babies, when we do not have all these attitudes of aggression, etc., that we acquire as our minds are being conditioned for life in this society, then the world responds to us with the non-aggressive attitude, the same that we have from our household pets. And you mentioned about Vladimir spending a life or spending a night with a bear in a dugout. You know, today one of the most favorite toys the world over for small children is a teddy bear. Why is it the teddy bear is the toy that children go to bed with? I think that it might be a remnant of our ancestral memory of the time when it was the norm, when the wild animals were really making very good company to us human beings. And throughout the ages, this memory has been preserved in rituals and customs and folk tales. So Anastasia is giving us examples of how this connection can still be existent today and how we can start making steps towards re-establishing it.
Yeah, that's a really good point about the teddy bears. I mean, I never... It seems like they seem like an aggressive animal. I mean, people carry bear spray when they go hiking in the woods in case they encounter a bear. Yet we buy our children stuffed animals that are in the shape of a bear, and I never really thought of it that way before.
Well, but again, the things that I started noticing, actually, when you start, after reading the Ringing Cedars books, if you take a fresh look at our traditions, things that we practice to the present day but do not understand the meaning of, like the Christmas tree, what is really the meaning of the Christmas tree? Why is it a tree? Why is it being decorated? Why is it that we put a 5 or 6-pointed star on top? Well, of course, there are Christian explanations, but the ritual of decorating a tree on a winter solstice is much older than Christianity itself. So, you know, when you start seeing that, well, there is such a wealth of tradition and rituals that are extremely ancient, that were full of meaning. They were not superstitious. They were based on some kind of understanding that our ancestors had. So it just encourages you to start rediscovering our own culture.
Well, I'm curious, when we were just talking about bears a minute ago, and I mentioned how we carry bear spray in the forest, do you find that people, when they connect with the Anastasia teachings, that they are not... I guess my question is, I mean, do you still carry bear spray if you go for a hike in the woods, or are you not concerned?
I'm never concerned, probably because in the areas where I live, there are not too many bears to worry about. No, but seriously, you know, it's all about how you see yourself. When we talked about food, we mentioned that for Anastasia, it's a way of connecting. So the question is, do you want to be disconnected from the world? Do you want to be just one leaf separate from the rest of the tree? Or do you want to be one green living leaf attached to the tree? You know, today in our society, we are being brought up on the ideals of competition and being an individual separate from everything else. Never mind that the word individual actually means undivided, not separate from the rest. But today we think it's just the opposite, being separate from the rest of the world. But, you know, a leaf which has been separated from a living tree is only good for compost. If you want to be enjoying life and if you want to appreciate the beauty of this amazing experience of being alive on this beautiful planet, the time has come to reclaim the tradition of our ancestors of seeing yourself as one leaf on a huge tree of life, your family tree. For our ancestors, it was exactly that, a family tree. They knew that we humans have roots, and because they felt they were rooted, they had an amazing reverence for Mother Earth and for their land. And they were valuing their own life and that of other human beings just because they had this understanding that we all belong to one big, beautiful life expressed on this planet. And this is this part, I believe, that people resonate very strongly with when they read the Ringing Cedars series, because they start rediscovering and remembering the kind of culture and approaches and worldview that were germane in our forebears centuries ago.
So where do you think we started to separate from that life of connection with nature into this life of disconnection?
Well, it was probably a very long process, and this is why I believe that the way backwards, it will not happen overnight. If we start taking first steps towards reclaiming this connection, still it will take quite a bit of time, because it has been a very, very long process of moving away from nature. Anastasia gives this answer to your question. She says that it all started when people started creating imaginary worlds in their imagination, and they're losing the connection with the real world they live in. And she explains that today it looks as though we human beings do not even live on this planet. We spend most of our conscious time when we are awake, we spend in this world of problems and concepts that we ourselves created, like money and social status, etc. Money does not exist in nature as such. Well, there are the material tokens of value, like pieces of paper and coins, but the concept of value, they're all virtual. They're in our mind. So Anastasia is explaining that when humanity became preoccupied with these imaginary concepts, our attention started going further and further away from the reality of being with one with Mother Earth, and this is how we started losing this connection. And I tend to agree. You know, when I look around, I see that today in this country, there are people who commit suicide because their stocks dropped and lost value. And at the same time, on the same planet, there are probably billions of people who do not even know what stocks are. So, you know, we live on the same planet, but at the same time, many people live in very, very different worlds. And I do agree with her that today much of our Western society is caught up in this virtual reality and has lost a lot of contact with the real world of nature that we all come from.
So it's interesting when we talk about virtual reality, because when we say virtual reality, the first thing that pops into my mind is computers.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people who would argue that computers disconnect us more from people, because we tend to spend more time on the computer chatting with virtual people in other parts of the world, as opposed to the time we spend face-to-face talking to real living human beings. And then other people would argue that computers connect us more, because even though we're not standing face-to-face with someone, we are connecting in that different dimension of the computer. And what is your opinion, and what is Anastasia's opinion on this computer age that we're in?
Yeah, you know, she believes that humanity has not yet created anything that does not exist in nature. So she says that whenever we start relying on some kind of technological advancement, as we see it, what it really means is we stop practicing our own abilities. We stop using our own abilities, and these abilities disappear. It's like with walking. She gives the example. If a person is bedridden for several months and cannot move and stays in bed for 6 months, then later this person will have difficulty walking, just because this person has not been exercising its body and the muscles for so long. The same with all other abilities, including even remote communication. Anastasia believes that we all have this ability of connecting without any technology, with any human being on this planet, accessing all information in the universe, without any internet and without any computers. So she's not saying that computers are necessarily evil. She is trying to us to remember that there might be more efficient ways of communicating, and they are all within our reach. They are part of the psychic and physical makeup of us human beings. And, you know, I tend to agree with her. What I see is today people are carried away with their artificial objects. We listen to our iPods or to artificial manufactured recorded music much more often than we listen to our children's or loved ones' heartbeat. But if you compare it, can music that somebody recorded for you really compare in its significance and their meaning and their power to the sound of your child's or your loved one's heartbeat? Certainly not. So Anastasia is suggesting you to give it a try. Just spend a little bit of your day unplugged. Devote some time to your family, to your friends. Listen to a child's heartbeat. And when you see what kind of influence it has on your being, you will be able to start making different choices. You know, today we are carried away with the technology. We see, well, look at this flash memory, this memory stick. 5 years ago, it was only like 5 megabytes, and today it holds 20 gigs, and it keeps growing. Such a small piece of plastic. But for Anastasia, all this technology is basically dead matter. It was made out of dead matter. It does not have any life of its own. So she, instead of being fascinated by technology and man-made objects, she is fascinating by the world of nature. Look at this sprout! This sprout! This tiny seed! It has all the information it needs to know what it is to grow into, how to take juices from the earth, how to procreate and create another tree or another shrub, another herb of the same species. How miraculous is that? Look at the rising of the sun. Wow! You know, our ancestors, the world over, they were not even taking the rising of the sun for granted. Because it had been rising for millions of years, it was not telling them that it would rise the next morning. So for them and for Anastasia as well, when the sun does rise in the morning, it's a source of great celebration. So because they were finding so much joy and so much enjoyment and fulfillment and just witnessing the world of living nature around and within them, they didn't need the stimulation of entertainment industry and artificial recorded music, etc., that we are so dependent today in order to fill in our empty space within.
Dr. Leo, I'm curious. We're almost running out of time. We just have a few minutes left in the show, and I want to talk about what is your workshops that you're going to be doing. You're going to be in Vancouver, Los Angeles, and a few other places. But before we talk about that, I do have one last question about book one, Anastasia. Anastasia talks about how in the universe, this is a quote from page 113, in the universe there was no one and nothing stronger than man except God. And I'm wondering, when she's speaking about man, does she just mean people on planet Earth? Or because I get the sense from reading the Anastasia books that she's talking about how, like, as if Earth is the center of the universe and that there's no one like us out there. Am I interpreting this incorrectly?
Yeah, you are only interpreting it incorrectly because you haven't read the rest of the Ringing Cedar series. Well, actually, even in the first book, she mentions extraterrestrial life. And when you go through further in the series, you will see that she talks about life in other worlds, on other planets. But when she's talking about man with a capital M, and, you know, we're not saying human, it's really man with a capital M to refer both to males and females, because the original meaning of the word man was mind. In certain languages, it's still the same. Man means mind. So it's not our mortal body, it's our spirit, it's our spiritual essence that she talks about. So when she talks about our planet and humanity being the center of the universe, she speaks more about it being the center of our concern. Why should we be concerned about some things that are so far removed from our reality here on this planet, like travel to Mars or to the moon? We need to be concerned, and we need to rediscover the beauty of planet Earth. And only then we will be ready for going and meeting life in other worlds, etc. So she is just trying to prioritize it properly. How can we aspire to get in contact with extraterrestrial life if we have not figured out how to live harmoniously on this planet? So she is just encouraging us to reclaim the harmonious relationship with each other and with the world we live in.
Okay, so when she says man, she means more the consciousness of, really it could be on any planet, it's just that
it
mind.
It can be on any planet, and as you read through the series, you will see that she has quite a bit of discussion of the universal man, if you like.
Okay, excellent. That's good to know. I'm looking forward to reading the rest of the series. And so let's talk a bit about what's coming up. You're doing a workshop in Vancouver in May. What kind of things are you going to be teaching people? It's a two-day workshop, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it will be in Los Angeles during the last weekend of April, and in Vancouver the first weekend in May, and then Ottawa in the second weekend of May. So, you know, the reading of the Ringing Cedar series fills so many people with tremendous inspiration. People want to change something in their life, but they do not know how to start because the dream of where they want to be seems to be so far from where they are now. So the Ringing Cedars workshops are basically about the practice, how to put this vision of what reality you want to create for yourself, how to put it all in practice, step by step, wherever you are, whatever your priorities are. So we talk about gardening and planting your own garden and connecting with the food that you grow. And we talk about creating communities, and we have fun exercises to simulate the creation of a community. We talk about conception and pregnancy and home birth and raising of children and education. It's all geared towards practice. Instead of only reading spiritual books and practicing spirituality, the time Anastasia believes has come for everybody to demonstrate spirituality in the world we live in. So the Ringing Cedars workshops are about creating this change in our life and in the lives of other people around us.
Wonderful. And so is just those three cities, Ottawa is in Canada, for people
yeah.
who are listening internationally. It's just these three cities right now?
It's for this season. So then in August there will be workshops in Europe, and in September also Europe, and towards the end of the year I will be back to America with more workshops. But in the within the next 2 months, the Los Angeles and two Canadian workshops are the only ones that will be offered here on this continent.
Wonderful.
And if you would like to find out more, there is more information on the ringingcedars.com website, ringing like the ringing of the bell, and cedars, the trees are in plural. So ringingcedars, in one word, .com.
That's ringingcedars.com, and that's where also you can find the summary of the Anastasia books, and there's a list of 8.2. So there's book 8.1 and 8.2.
Yeah, they are part of, they are two separate volumes, but they form part of one book. So, but
oh, okay.
Yeah, there are physically 9 separate volumes right now.
And is Vladimir writing more?
Yeah, actually, yes, he says he's releasing a new book, but even the first 9 books is already such a big journey. I would just encourage all of our listeners to start just with the first book, Anastasia, because it contains already so much that will be later expanded on throughout the Ringing Cedars series. But, you know, part of the reason why I teach the Ringing Cedars workshops is because I made this transition. When I read Anastasia, I was graduating from a business school. And instead of making a career in business, I switched gears and now live in the countryside, grow my garden, have 3 children born at home, and have a much more balanced existence than I think it would be if it was not for these books. So I just want other people to have similar kind of positive experience in their life. This is why I spent 5 years on my life translating and publishing the Ringing Cedars series in the English language.
Oh, thank you so much for making these books available to English-speaking people. And I just have a question about, you mentioned that you live in the countryside and you have your own garden. What would you suggest for people who are living in the city, say apartment dwellers?
Mm-hmm.
That's one problem is that people who live in apartments aren't really able to have their own gardens.
Well, yes and no. And, you know, where there is a will, there is a way. One of the gentlemen who attended my workshop, he was from Toronto, Canada. So he was a student who lived in a dormitory, didn't have any land of his own. Do you know what he did? He posted on the Craigslist an ad saying that he wants to have a piece of land to grow his garden on, and he didn't even have money to pay rent for it, but he was willing to share part of the produce with the landlord. Within 1 week, he had a response from 3 different people offering him 3 pieces of land to grow his garden on that season. So there are always opportunities like that. In most of the communities, there are community gardens. And even there, when there are no community gardens, people can very successfully plant a seed in a soil box on their windowsill. It can be a very important first step.
Wonderful. So even if you're not in a position where you can have all of your food grown by your own hands, say you had maybe a tomato plant or some herbs that had been planted in that way, that would be at least a step in the right direction.
True, because, you know, what matters is not so much the quantity, but the quality. Anastasia explains that just having a few plants planted the way she suggests, a few plants that will have a personal connection with you will already make a great deal of difference.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. We're already out of time, and I'm definitely going to have you on again. It's been a wonderful hour. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much, and I wish you and all our listeners best of luck on your journeys.
Thank you so much, Dr. Leo. Have a wonderful night.
You too. Thank you, Marie.
Take care. So that was Dr. Leonid Sharashkin, and you can find him at ringingcedars.com. The name of the book is Anastasia. You can find it at ringingcedars.com, or just Google the Anastasia phenomenon and it will come up for you. Thank you so much for listening tonight. Thank you to all the people in the chat room for your wonderful interactions. It's been such an amazing hour. I've had such a great time. And coming up in just a couple of weeks, Eckhart Tolle is going to be on Namaste Radio. I would really encourage you to become a member of Blog Talk Radio if you feel the desire. It is completely free, and that way you can participate in the chat, so you can text questions even if you don't want to call live on the air, and you can pass your questions on to us that way and interact with other people as well. If you enjoyed this show, please favorite the show. How you do that is you press the little heart icon that is on the Blog Talk Radio player so that you will be able to receive an email every week from Blog Talk, and they'll remind you that the show is on so that you never miss an episode. And you can always, of course, listen to episodes on podcast. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a wonderful evening, a wonderful week. Namaste.
Thank you for joining with us for this hour of Namaste Radio. For further spiritual insights and sharing, please join us in Namaste Global Community at namastepublishing.com. If you enjoyed the show, please add Namaste Radio as a friend, favorite the show, and tell someone about it. Sharing this show is a precious gift that's completely free. Thank you. May you enjoy each moment of your day. Namaste.